The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another holiday edition of Mission Minded. He is Michael Coleman, the CEO of Heart of Alabama Food Bank here on the Tony Curry YouTube channel. Of course, you can also hear the show, as you may already be doing, on the TKR app. It's available every day of the week, Monday through Friday. And we also do a show called Bite by Bite, which usually follows right after this one. So make sure you keep listening throughout our show. Michael, what's been going on, brother? Happy holidays. Our first show after Thanksgiving. I hope you had a nice holiday season, and I hope everything's going really well for you, my friend.
Yeah, I did. I spent Thanksgiving over at a friend's house with he and his wife, and the food was very good and very hospitable guests. Got to know his family. Spent time with my family, obviously, my kids and grandkids. And so, yeah, it went very well. Got to rest over the weekend. And, of course, as an Alabama fan, they won the Iron Bowl, so that's a big deal. But they might backdoor their way into the playoffs, even though personally, as an Alabama fan, I don't feel like they deserve it. But
yeah, I think a lot of people kind of feel the same way. I'm afraid they're going to be the first one out. So I just don't know if there's going to be enough room. But
I saw something today that said they're in.
Okay.
The guy did. It wasn't just a guy. It was a knowledgeable guy did his. But that doesn't mean anything. That did, you know, so I don't know. Well, I don't know exactly right now when the official thing is coming out.
Comes out tomorrow night. 7 o'clock. I will say this. I think the playoffs are better with Alabama in it, and they're perennial, and I think it's always better when you have the Blue Bloods in there. They had lost three games, but you know, you got to take care of business on the field, and they didn't do that against Oklahoma. So I could see certainly where they'd want to hold them out, but the whole idea that people
in Alabama, we know, can beat anybody.
Sure.
But then they also can lose to anybody. Yep. We've seen that as well.
Indeed. All right. We'll see what happens there. So something that you wanted to broach today, I thought was really interesting, and I don't think we've ever talked about this. So we may have done it in passing. But building your personal brand, let's start right there. What does that mean? What does it mean building a personal brand? What is a brand?
Well, you probably wouldn't have worded it that way in the past, many years ago, but that's, you know, everybody's competing. Well, first of all, let me back up. Everybody wants there to be value in how they're regarded. And so what I'm talking about in building this personal brand is that to build yourself as reputable, to be somebody that can address serious issues. And as you're maturing in life and as you're going through life, there's all sorts of opportunities to talk about the things that you're knowledgeable about or that you're passionate about, but you want to do it with a certain amount of credibility. Mm-hmm. And you want to build your brand. I mean, there's lots of people that I know that I'm like, I know that person. If that person's involved with it, I feel good about it because there's credibility in that brand.
Sure.
So just like if you see some of the well-known brands out there, you're going to expect there to be substance. You're going to expect there to be truth. You're going to, or at least a clear pursuit of truth. And brands get trusted over time. And that's kind of the same mindset you want from a personal perspective, is you want to be deemed credible with the issues that you do tackle. I want to be viewed as somebody credible in the nonprofit field. Which means, depending on where I'm talking about now, I'm in food insecurity and hunger, which means I have to get knowledgeable, but then I have to also talk about those things. And because I want to be, I don't want to say subject matter expert, but you want to be able to address key issues. And so there's so many people that have this wide array of gifts and talents and understanding of sometimes very complex issues. But nobody knows it.
Yeah.
And so you'll see people who are hesitant or say, well, I can do this, or I am skilled at that. I just don't know how to promote myself. And if you think about it, that's something that we're really taught against, is self-promotion. Mm-hmm. And I get that. But then you know, you can kind of shut yourself down. Like, I don't want to promote myself. I don't want to look like I'm bragging. I don't want to do these things. But in reality is, if you have a product, and that product could be information, that product could be an understanding of a complex issue that a lot of people are dealing with, you serve a real value in your community. It could be in your church community. It could be in your civic community. It could be in your work community, or just your neighbors in your neighborhood. To bring leadership to the table, to speak to certain issues in certain ways. And people need to know that you have that. So building a personal brand is, I know lots of times we look at all these people on YouTube and they're just trying to get likes and trying to be influencers. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm looking at where your name matters. I remember I came from a place. My great grandfather was the physician in a small little country town for decades, would make house calls. And then he had three sons and a daughter, and then on down. So that was my great grandfather. Well, I'm still reaping the benefit of his credibility. Because I have his name and people who knew him back in the day, who viewed him favorably, they're going to favor me. Now, again, you know, that some of that can be passed down, but I'm sitting there thinking, well, that's great. I'm riding his coattails in some small way, but I want my children, my grandchildren, my great grandchildren I would like to smooth the way for them and to build a brand or build credibility, mm-hmm. so that they also can benefit from it, but also doing a public good. So there's a lot of things wrapped up in it. I'm not talking about just self-promotion to get as many likes and it's about money. This is about really having your life's work or your life's passions and be able to communicate about that in a way that you're deemed credible.
I think you can interchange brand with reputation once in a while. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of the same if you wanted to do a thesaurus on that. Normally, it takes time to build a brand and or a reputation. And if you're a new business, like I've been going for 5 years, but I was a brand before I started. So I kind of had a head start. And so, you know, I had a lot of people that knew how I reacted to things. And I hope my credibility was my reputation was pretty decent before I started this. And so that certainly helped. But if you're starting a business, and you want to build your brand as quickly as possible, because the great thing about having brand, and the first thing when you mentioned that is I think about like recalls. There was a salmonella recall a couple of weeks ago, I think for Tyson Chicken or something. I may be wrong there. Anyway, and Tyson Chicken is synonymous. They've got a brand name. They are chicken. I mean, when you think of chicken, you know, if you're getting Tyson, you're getting good stuff. And so, you know, they can have bumps in the road and have to.
They can absorb that because of the previous credibility.
They can, you know, and you know, it's happened with Chipotle. It's happened with all kinds of different. It just happened with McDonald's recently. McDonald's is obviously one of the biggest brands we have in the world. Sure. And they had, you know, the quarter pounder issue. So if you want to, first of all, what would you say to somebody who just feels like you don't really have to do anything? It's just a matter of time. Because if you're doing the right thing for a long time, you have a good reputation. Normally you do have a good brand, whether you're a shoe salesman or whether you're opening a McDonald's. What would you say to that?
Yeah, well, it's very true, except, you know, lots of times you have value outside of your community. And so you think, well, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And you can be like a jewel or, you know, in a community where like a hidden gem, mm-hmm. like everybody in the community may know, but a greater community is deprived of that. And so there's just real opportunities. And again, not for self-promotion, but it does include self-promotion. And that's really, I think, what stops a lot of people is because they feel like, I don't feel comfortable promoting myself as a subject matter expert. And I remember going through that as I was learning more and more about working with people in poverty, the issues of poverty, the rules of poverty. What are the norms? And I just recognized as I got more and more into this, and it became an everyday part of me, that the vast majority of people didn't understand or didn't come from, you know, that world. And so I thought, well, part of my job is not just trying to solicit donations and raise money to help those overcome that, but to help educate people and to create more empathy in a community towards those with greater needs. So I had to, as I talked about it more and more, I recognized, hey, I feel like I'm know a lot about this subject that the average person doesn't, which you would expect. That's going to be true of anything. You spend a lot of time learning and trying to understand, then you're going to take that out to the general population. You're not going to have people that typically are going to know what you know. And so I felt like, hey, I'm going to be the voice in that community because the people in poverty can't go into that community mm-hmm. and do it. I'm going to be their voice. And so now I'm like, well, I want to promote myself because I'm doing a good thing or believed I'm doing a good thing. And so I want to get that message out as far as possible to anybody who's willing to hear it. So there is a certain amount of promotion, like reaching out. This is at the most basic level, but just reaching out to our local civic clubs. I would call every Rotary Club. I'd call every Kiwanis Club, every Lions Club, every Civitan Club. And I said, hey, this is who I am, and this is what I'm doing. And I feel like it's, on some levels, it's a little groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And I just want to come talk to your folks about it and answer any questions. And over time, you start to build that brand. And even what we're doing here, you know, I'm not doing this for my personal brand, but, you know, we talk about the more I study these issues, the more I match them with my own personal experiences. You and I both, as we go through this, and just the brand is going to continue to grow and get better. And the more that happens, the more influence you're going to have. And that's really vital, especially when you're trying to use it for the good of others.
No, and that's one of the reasons that I love having you on. I mean, we've been friends for quite some time now, and I know you're a brand, and I know your heart, and I know where you come from, and I know you're a good Christian man. And so that helps my brand by being associated with you. And I hope you feel the same way about me.
Absolutely.
When I first started the business, man, and I mean, I just sunk myself into, I tried to get in front of so many business owners, people that had failed businesses, people that had successful businesses, millionaires, investors. And I was just trying to sponge as much as I could. And I didn't do a very good job when I was doing radio, because I had a hell of a great brand, but I really never took advantage of it. I just felt like I was probably going to do another 15 years of radio and walk down the beach and be done with it. And I had a savings, this, that, and the other. And I really didn't. And I had several people that actually came up to me and said, you know, we need to build your brand. And I was like, I got this. You know, I was number one. I'm good. But I kept hearing the word ambassador. And I kept hearing, you need ambassadors for your business. You need people, you know, when you're with your favorite lady friend, you don't scream your own name out in sex. It's always better if she does it for you, right? So you don't want to self-promote yourself. But when she says, Michael, 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 it sounds a lot better than you saying it yourself. So you want people to speak highly of you. Can you talk about just a little bit about, you know, certainly it goes along with your reputation. But when you do it right, you don't have to toot your own horn. You got people to do it for you.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is, I mean, when you think about it on the back, so first of all, you're exactly right that having people speak on your behalf, instead of me calling a Rotary Club or Lions Club or whatever, having a friend reach out to somebody and say, hey, I've gotten a friend of mine. He really is doing some good stuff, he or she, whatever. And it's, yeah, that's really let you know that you're starting to build some momentum when other people are advocating, or other people, sometimes those you don't even know, it will come up to you and say, hey, I hear about, you know, the food bank, or I hear about what you're doing. I really like it. It's you really reaching the community as a whole. And that kind of feedback lets you know that, hey, your messaging is working.
Mm-hmm.
But again, part of that is going back and trying to get that out to people in a way that is not self-promoting. But in essence, it does require that.
So would you say there's any difference between trying to brand a non-for-profit as opposed to a for-profit?
And I will tell you.
And if there is, what are those differences?
So it's interesting you say that, because that's really, it's really all sales. So when you're in the, when you're in the nonprofit, what you're selling is you're selling a service, because you're providing a service that the government can't or won't or whatever. You're filling a need in the community. Except the key difference is that if I was a pool supply company, then I'm going to market to people with pools, and I'm going to try to compete with other pool companies and explain to them. So maybe we're going to be equal on price. Mm-hmm. So I've got to have the best customer service. I've got to have the best guys going out to your pool, cleaning your pool, all those kind of things, you know, to win your business, to win your heart. I have to do. Well, the thing about nonprofit is the people that are there, we have a customer base, those who are actually getting our services, but they can't provide the support. So I'm selling it to a community that what we're doing is good for the community as a whole. You're benefiting, but in a very indirect way. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to make an appeal to them, number one, to see what the problem is, to understand that, to put their eyes on it, to understand what you're doing. And then here's the impact of what you're doing. And the appeal is that if you support us, you can alleviate this suffering, or you can help solve these problems. So in some ways, it's the same thing. You're selling something, but the difference is they're not, the person who's buying, who's giving you the money, typically is not getting the product.
Yeah.
They're actually providing the service. So it enables us to help those who have less in this world.
Well, what's great is about your business, and I saw you do this at the Jimmy Hill Mission numerous times, where, you know, I do my show from down there. I did my show down there every year when I first got to town. And I would see people that went through the Jimmy Hill Mission and through their process, and they'd pull up on Christmas Day with a wad of cash because they had turned their life around and had done really well and wanted to give back to the institution and the mission of what Jimmy Hill Mission was all about. And you're certainly seeing that with what you do with the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. So I think about reputations, and we always have different reputations, and I think we all try to do the right thing when we're talking about doing business types of things. When you're talking about money, how important is it to make sure that you don't fall for the easy cash? If someone comes up and says, "Michael, I want to give you $500,000, but I want you to call it the Tony Curry Heart of Alabama Food Bank." And you're like, that's certainly going to help. But I mean, you don't know if I'm going to get caught for DUI next week. You don't know. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket with one person. Yeah. We saw that with Richard Scrushy. He used to own everything, and they had to change everything. And of course, he gave so much money.
Yeah.
And he certainly paid his price for that. But at what point, and you've talked about this before, and I actually had several emails about this. They always bring up these stories about where you've met with people and people are like, "Okay, I'm going to give you the money, but you have to do this, this, and this." And you're like, "You know what? It's not worth it." Can you talk a little bit about that? And I will use an example. I used to do, commercials for Sammy's, which is a topless club. And I used to do remotes at Sammy's once a month. And I was on the air, and my wife and I had just started a foundation, the Bright House Foundation for Special Needs Individuals, because I have a special needs son. He's 17, Xavier, you know him. And we were trying to make the best of a situation. And I heard a commercial on Rock 99 while I was doing it. And I heard me doing, they used to give me free public service announcements. I heard a commercial, me talking about, you know, come out and see, Alyssa, the mountain queen, blah, 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 blah. Sammy's tonight. I'll meet you out there at 7 o'clock and Bud Light specials, da, 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 da. And all of a sudden, I am Tony Curry. And do you have any someone in your life with special needs? And I was like, it was a train wreck. And I was like, how are people supposed to hear me talk about, you know, topless dancers? And that's whatever you're into, that's fine. And then, you know, talk about, my special needs son. It just didn't drive. So Sammy's, I told him, I said, "Listen, I can no longer endorse your store." They were paying me on the side, And it got to the point where they offered me roughly $15,000 to promote their brand, because I was that afternoon crazy guy. And a lot of my listeners love to go to Sammy's. I was in my 20s and 30s and yeah. I turned it down just because I was like, money can't buy me out. And boy, I was making $28,000 a year. 15 grand would have been a nice nut for me. Just talk about, you know, making a deal with the devil. And it's not always about it's not always about the money. The brand is more important than the money.
Oh, absolutely. Because you can sacrifice the brand, and businesses know this. And this is sometimes that you see overreactions. If somebody who does something or maybe makes a statement publicly, you see it right now with there's an MMA fighter, Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. Has turned his brand, personalized his brand. So he had a whole country in Ireland just loved him to death. And he hadn't fought in a couple of years, but he was the biggest trash talker, but he carried the banner for that nation. Well,
and got in a lot of trouble too, by the way.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say, is that he messed around and got himself in a situation where he was accused by a couple of different women for acts and was recently sued. And I think it was civil court. It wasn't criminal court, but civil court. He was found guilty of I don't know that it was rape, but it was, some type of sexual assault. That's right. And it's going to cost him quite a bit of money. And I just saw where the whole country now is done a flip. Now, not literally the whole country. There's still going to be people who back him. But then, all of a sudden you start losing, you know, branding, and you start losing commercial deals. Now, likely nobody in our audience has got commercial endorsements and all those kind of things. Okay. What I'm talking about, though, if you just bring that down to a smaller level, but the principle is still the same.
Yeah.
Going back to your question, you want to protect your brand. And so you have to decide, who are you going to speak to? What are going to be the topics you're willing to address? What are the things, what are you not going to be willing to compromise and back away from? Because right now, depending on what group, you may have some ideological views that conflict. And so there would be pressure to say, hey, yeah, I get to go and talk in front of this group, but you know, this is kind of the prevailing view of this group. And so you can kind of shrink away from who you are. And that's what I'm saying. Protecting your brand is not an easy thing, because it can be full of tough choices. And sometimes, like you said, it's you're turning down dollars. You're turning down the ability to get in front of a group. You have to draw tough boundaries sometimes and just say, I am not going to sacrifice on a short-term basis for quick dollars or quick recognition or a push out into the recognition world. I just have to protect that. And I have found that when people do that, they end up sometimes up front experiencing some pain. But in the long run, I think they end up walking away with a lot of credibility. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, my boss, you're giving me so many questions. We could go like an hour and a half on this now. My boss has always said any promotion is good promotion in radio. I remember in 1990, gosh, that was 34 years ago, I got a DUI over in Atlanta. I was celebrating my 23rd birthday. I was with all my bosses. I was with my GM. I was my general sales manager. I was with my national sales manager. And for some reason, I was driving. I don't know why I was driving on my birthday. But anyway, then we went to a club over there, and I went the wrong way. And so I spent the night in jail. And I came back to the radio station to a standing ovation. I was like, what the hell's wrong with you people? And it was like, you know, welcome. It was my first DUI. Welcome to radio, you know? And you know, that's when we used to make jungle juice at the Christmas parties. And, you know, we locked the door at a hotel, and life has changed so much in radio since then, but I'm so glad I got in it when I did, because it was a lot of fun. So any promotion is good promotion. Let me ask you this question. Is having a bad brand better than having no brand at all?
I don't think so. Now, let me...
Because it's hard to get a brand. You have to do something right to get a brand.
Yeah, so this is the caveat. So think of like wrestling, okay? All right. You have bad characters. And even in MMA, Conor McGregor, there's tons of people who hate Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. Jake Paul, who just recently fought Mike Tyson. A lot of people don't like him. These influencers and all that. So in those kind of instances, you being a bad guy and being the hate, that draws an audience. And if that's what you're trying to get, but what you don't want is bad in terms of lacking credibility or somebody who easily compromises a position simply because that's the path of least resistance. So you can end up losing your credibility, and that's bad. And that's, I would say it's better to be lesser known than to have your credibility compromised. You and I'm currently, I mean, just to be totally transparent and put all our business out here like we do. So I'm currently going through my very first divorce after being married 40 years. And I had a guy come up to me at Sunday at church and was asking me some details. And I said, he said, well, I heard somebody talking about it that you just up and, you know, how people do.
Sure.
The story was that I just up one day and just decided to leave my wife after 40 years.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how'd you feel about that? And he said, well, I was so angry when I heard that over Thanksgiving. I was with family and a friend of a friend of a friend, you know, mentioned it. He said, I was so hurt by that, I almost started crying. He said, because I've looked up to you and I thought, well, if he's willing to do that kind of stuff, you know, then what kind of chance do I have? But also, what a terrible thing to do. And he's not the kind of person I thought he was and all that. So I took the time to sit down and walk him through all the challenges. And I'm not trying to put anybody in a bad light, my wife or anything like that. But I tried to walk him through how I ended up reaching the decision that I reached. And he was okay with that. But it reminded me how close I was to losing credibility in his eyes of going from somebody that he admits that he either admired, held me in higher esteem, to somebody that he would walk away from with just out of pure disgust. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me when I left church and I was home and I was thinking about our interaction, our discussion. I couldn't help but think about, you know, there's going to be a lot of people out there that know me that aren't going to give me a chance to explain. They're going to hear things because people like, you know, those type of narratives, and they're going to throw me away in anything, any good I've ever done or any good that I've ever had to say. And
there's some things, some things you just can't do. I mean,
that's right. And I just know that's going to happen. I'm not wringing my hands about it because there's nothing I can do. And the people who are closest to me, who kind of know what's going on, they know it's a different story. But people on the fringe will look at me and be so quick to judge. And I already know it's going to, for right or for wrong, it's going to hurt my personal brand. But sometimes that's just the cost of moving forward in life.
Yeah, you know, and I really appreciate you mentioning that and being as honest as you are, because you certainly didn't have to do that. The thing is, though, you're going to be talking to roughly 53% of your audience, because half of us get divorced. Yeah. And I'll certainly share with you, I met you while I was going through one of the messiest divorces that anyone could go through. And I mean, I was never married 40 years. I was married 18. I never thought in a million years. That it would have gotten as ugly as it did. Cause I'm a killing with kindness kind of guy. And I just was like, here, I was willing to give her whatever she wanted just to make things good. All I cared about was my children. I just wanted my kids to, be okay with it. Cause I know it's really hard to come from a broken home, and I wanted to make sure they knew that we both loved them very much. So you know, I did everything I could and I still do it. Whenever they're over here, we pray for their mom. You know, and I'm pretty sure she does not do that for me, but that's okay. But I mean, from a brand standpoint, I think, you know, with every door that closes, there's going to be that door that opens. And I have found, at least in my life, and I've been divorced now for almost 5 years, that it's created some new relationships for me, not with other women, but in my business, in my brand.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and I have found a lot of people, I'm not an expert on it, but hell, I had DHR over here. You know, I mean, and I've had a lot of people reach out to me. My good friend, Dr. Josh Claypo, who's my best buddy, is deals with this, and he's got several clients, and it's never a good time to go through this, particularly in the holiday season. So, thank you for sharing that. I got one final question. We're already up against the 30 minutes, but I don't care because it's the holidays. So we're going to give you the bonus here. For some reason, maybe it's because I was thinking of Sammy's. So bear with me. I was trying to write down when you texted me this morning, you want to talk about branding. I was like, oh, that's really good. And I started thinking about names of great brands. The first thing I thought of was Kleenex. We don't call them tissues. We call them Kleenex. They're so branded as a tissue company. Or some people just, you know, when they want a soda pop, they ask for a Coke. And maybe get a Dr. Pepper, but a Coke. I mean, that's how well branded they are. And I kept thinking of Playboy for some reason, because Playboy has got an incredible brand. I mean, the name itself has been around for 60, 70 years. Yeah. And I don't even know what's going on with the business. I don't even know if it's, and that's kind of where the precipice of my question was, is it better to have a bad brand, but at least be known, as opposed to not having a brand at all? Because I do think eventually, depending on how long you're in business, I think you either go up or you either go down. You either brand gets better or it gets worse, right?
Well, I'll tell you what was interesting about Playboy. So I remember back in the early set, being raised, I was a young kid, late 60s, early 70s. I remember going over to a guy's house one time, having Playboy magazines just on the coffee table, just everywhere. And it was just amazing how some people lived, you know. There was just, it was out there everywhere. If you look at Playboy, and it's always, I always thought one interesting stat that I heard is the highest level of magazine, they looked at Time magazine, they looked at all these different magazines. The highest reading level, it was actually a 12th grade reading level where the articles in Playboy magazine was the most. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. But Playboy, if you think about it, there were people who did not like pornography and thought it's bad for society. Okay. But if you looked at people who liked that genre, then they had a very good brand. The Playboy Bunny Club, the Playboy Mansion, Hugh Hefner in the smoking jacket, mm-hmm. you know, the centerfold, just all the things that were about Playboy. So their branding inside of their niche for their audience was an excellent brand. I'm not saying Playboy was good for society or anything else, yeah. But so there were people who hated them, but it wasn't because the branding was bad. That was the business they were in. But the branding inside of a business was primo. But it, to your point, I remember they made an announcement that they were no longer going to have, I think it was either Hugh Hefner's son or some mm-hmm. whoever took over, came out and said, yeah, we're not going to have any more nudes in there.
Well, what happened then?
Yeah. And then he had some brainchild, and I get it because, you know, everything's video now and there's all the internet, free porn all over the web. Yeah. Yeah. It's everywhere. So you're like, well, it's just like newspapers are going away. It's the same thing with like printed, pornography. But their brand just drifted away, and nobody in their 20s and 30s knows or cares anything about the brand of Playboy.
I know. Isn't it crazy? I mean, it was so big for us. I mean, it's so big for us in their 70s and 80s. And I mean, it was, you know, the first time I ever sold.
So I've heard that they're going back. They're trying to do some things.
Yeah.
But think about it now. how they lost that brand for that 10 years or whatever it was, 15, I have no idea. But they sacrificed it. So look, I know some people are like, oh, this is terrible. Take out of the industry. Just look at the principle. The principle is they had something. They chose to change their model. They lost it. Now they want to come back, except their key demographic of 20s to 40s doesn't know anything. So now they're having to start completely over. So none of the past matters anymore because all of that's been lost. Mm-hmm. And now, how do you compete in the pornography where there's free pornography everywhere? So in other words, they sacrificed that credibility by trying to change and update a little bit in the same as New Coke, except New Coke made the shift back, you know, back in the late 80s. They shifted back in time to classic Coke.
Yeah,
to not lose sight of it.
And now I don't even know where to buy a regular Coke. Every time I go there, I end up buying the wrong Coke, a Coke Zero, or it's like you have to read the label on everything to make sure you get the right one. All I know is when I got married, I ended up throwing away two large garbage bag fulls of Playboy magazines that I used to have. I had a drawer full of them, man. I was like, you know, I probably don't need these anymore now that I have a wife, and I just thought I don't need to have this in the house. And so, I actually showed them to her. It's like, here's two bags of them. They're going to the trash. So there you have it. So I got something good out of my marriage anyway. Yeah. Mission Minded, keep in mind your mission. Keep your mission in mind. Thank you so much for your time. Great talk. Great stuff on branding. And make sure you continue to listen up because we'll be doing Bite by Bite coming up here next right here on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.